Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
I was elected as a democratic socialist, and I will govern as a democratic socialist.
Zoran Mamdani has been sworn in as New York City mayor. He was officially sworn in just after midnight into Thursday and made history as New York's first Muslim, first South Asian, and first African-born mayor. And at the age of 34, the city's youngest mayor in more than a century. In a public ceremony attended by thousands on Thursday, he was sworn in by independent Senator Bernie Sanders on the steps of City Hall.
You showed the world the most important lesson that can be learned today. And that is that when working people stand together, when we don't let them divide us up, there is nothing we cannot accomplish.
Today we'll feature part of Mayor Mamdani's inauguration, including remarks from Senator Sanders and Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as well as Zoran Mamdani himself.
Beginning today, we will govern expansively and audaciously. We may not always succeed, but never will we be accused of lacking the courage to try. To those who insist that the era of big government is over, hear me when I say this. No longer will City Hall hesitate to use its power to improve New Yorkers' lives.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani has been sworn in as the mayor of New York City. He's made history as New York's first Muslim, first South Asian, first African-born mayor, and at the age of 34, the city's youngest mayor in generations. At midnight on January 1st, New York Attorney General Letitia James swore in Mamdani in a private ceremony in a decommissioned subway station below City Hall. Mamdani took the oath, placing his hand on two Qurans held by his wife, Syrian-American artist Rama Duwaji. On Thursday afternoon, Senator Bernie Sanders swore in Mamdani again in a large public ceremony outside City Hall in below freezing weather. During his inaugural address, Mamdani repeated his campaign vow to make the city more affordable.
We will answer to all New Yorkers, not to any billionaire or oligarch who thinks they can buy our democracy. We will govern without shame and insecurity, making no apology for what we believe. I was elected as a democratic socialist, and I will govern as a democratic socialist.
After the inauguration, Mayor Mamdani traveled to a Brooklyn housing complex where he signed three executive orders designed to tackle the city's housing crisis.
In doing so, we will protect tenants already long neglected from further neglect, and we will mitigate the significant risk of displacement they currently face. For too long, bad landlords have been allowed to mistreat their tenants with impunity. That ends today.
Mamdani also revoked all executive orders signed by former mayor Eric Adams that were issued after Adams was indicted on federal bribery charges September 26, 2024. We'll air more highlights from Mamdani's inauguration, including much of his speech, after headlines. the world's 500 richest people added a record $2.2 trillion to their collective fortunes in 2025. That's according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, which found just 8 billionaires accounted for about a quarter of those gains. Meanwhile, millions of U.S. residents have been hit by soaring health insurance premiums after Republican lawmakers thwarted Democrat efforts to extend Affordable Care Act tax subsidies, which expired December 31st. The Urban Institute and Commonwealth Fund forecast the higher premiums will force some 4.8 million people to drop their coverage this year. This, as Reuters reports, at least 350 branded medications will likely see price increases this year, including vaccines against COVID, RSV and shingles, and a blockbuster cancer treatment. On Thursday, minimum wage increases took effect across 19 states, averaging 67 cents an hour. But the federal minimum wage remained unchanged with the start of the new year, as it has for the past 16 years. In response, Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders wrote, quote, "A $7.25 federal minimum wage is a national disgrace. No one who works full time should live in poverty. We must keep fighting to guarantee all workers a living wage, not starvation wages," unquote. President Trump rang in the new year by throwing a lavish party at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. The event featured caviar, champagne, and an artist who rapidly painted a picture of Jesus on stage. It was auctioned off for over $2.7 million, with proceeds benefiting a children's charity and the local sheriff's department. Among those in attendance were Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, who was filmed dancing with White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller as the rapper Vanilla Ice performed his 1990 hit Ice, Ice Baby. Joining the party as guest of honor was Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on his fifth visit to the United States since the International Criminal Court issued a warrant seeking his arrest for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in Gaza. President Trump was asked what his New Year's resolution will be for the coming year, to which he responded, "Peace on earth." In Gaza, another Palestinian child has died of exposure due to cold, wet weather and a lack of proper shelter. Malak Rami Ghanem was just a few weeks old, one of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians forced to shelter in flimsy tents, offering little to no protection from the elements. Separately, the United Nations reported a Palestinian boy drowned in floods that inundated the tent camp where his family lived. This, as the Palestinian Meteorological Department warned of even more cold and wet weather ahead. Meanwhile, a ban by Israel on 37 international NGOs, including MSF, that's Doctors Without Borders, took effect with the new year. Aid groups, the United Nations, and at least 10 foreign ministers have condemned the move, warning it'll exacerbate Gaza's already catastrophic humanitarian crisis. This is Ramiz Abu Al-Nil, a displaced Palestinian living in Khan Yunis.
Even with the presence of humanitarian organizations, the situation is already tragic. If their support and presence are removed, God knows what will happen. Many children will die, lives will be destroyed, and many families will be devastated by this decision.
In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces intensified demolition operations in the Nur Shams refugee camp this week, flattening homes that housed about 100 Palestinian families. Israel's military claimed the home demolitions targeted Palestinian resistance groups. Residents say they were an illegal form of collective punishment.
9 people live in the house. My husband is disabled. We don't have a way to get money. The house was our home, and now we don't have any other place to live in. No one is supporting us financially or helping us. I have nobody helping me. What can I say?
The home demolitions came as Israeli authorities approved plans to build 126 new housing units for Jewish settlers in a northern West Bank outpost that Israel evacuated in 2005. In Turkey, hundreds of thousands of protesters rang in the new year Thursday with a protest march demanding an end to Israel's genocide in Palestine. Turkish media report more than 400 civil society organizations participated in the protests, which saw over 500,000 people march across Istanbul's Galata Bridge. The U.S. military has blown up at least five more boats in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific, killing reportedly at least eight people. Since September, the U.S. has claimed credit for striking 36 boats in the region. The Pentagon claims all the boats were carrying drugs, but has not provided evidence. Meanwhile, Russia's asked the United States to stop pursuing an oil tanker which had been sailing toward Venezuela to pick up oil. In recent days, the vessel was added to Russia's ship registry, and a Russian flag has been painted on its side. The developments come as the U.S. intensifies military pressure on Venezuela. On Thursday, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro said he's open to holding talks with the U.S. Russia's accused Ukraine of killing 24 people and wounding 50 in drone strikes on a cafe and hotel in a Russian-occupied village in Ukraine's Kherson region. This comes amidst a renewed push to end the war. In a New Year's address, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said a peace deal is 90% ready.
Чого хоче Україна?
Миру. What does Ukraine want? Peace? Yes. At any cost? No. We want the end of the war, not the end of Ukraine. Are we tired? Extremely. Does that mean we are ready to surrender? Those who think so are deeply mistaken.
President Trump's announced he's withdrawing National Guard troops from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Portland, Oregon, at least for now. The announcement came a week after the Supreme Court blocked the deployment of hundreds of National Guard troops to the Chicago area. Officials at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, are planning to spend $100 million over a one-year period to recruit gun rights supporters and military enthusiasts through online influencers and a geo-targeted advertising campaign. That's according to The Washington Post, which reports it's part of what the agency called a wartime recruitment strategy aimed at hiring thousands of new deportation officers nationwide. The recruitment drive is targeted at people who have attended UFC fights, listened to far-right podcasts, or shown an interest in guns and tactical gear. It uses the ad industry technique known as geofencing to send ads to people who set foot near military bases, NASCAR races, college campuses, or gun shows. The Trump administration's frozen federal child care funding to all 50 states plus the District of Columbia and U.S. territories. The Department of Health and Human Services says it'll only restore federal grants under the Child Care and Development Fund to states that provide more verification and administrative data about the funds they receive. The nationwide freeze comes after HHS officials cut off funding to Minnesota, citing a series of fraud schemes uncovered in that state, and after Vice President J.D. Vance and other Trump administration officials amplified a deceptively edited video posted by the far-right influencer Nick Shirley, who recently visited Somali-owned daycare sites in Minnesota and alleged with little evidence he'd uncovered over $100 million in fraud. And in Iran, mass protests are continuing over the country's dire economic situation. At least seven people have been killed amidst clashes with security forces and paramilitary groups. Early this morning, President Trump warned on social media the United States may intervene, writing, quote, "If Iran shoots and violently kills peaceful protesters, which is their custom, the United States of America will come to their rescue. We are locked and loaded and ready to go," President Trump wrote. Iranian officials warned U.S. interference could destabilize the entire region. Speaking on Thursday, the Iranian president, Masoud Pezeshkian, acknowledged the Iranian government bears responsibility for Iran's economic problems.
People are dissatisfied. We are at fault. You are at fault. Do not go after America as the one to blame. Do not go after, I don't know, some other person. It is we who must serve, and they must be satisfied with us.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani has been sworn in as the mayor of New York City. He was officially sworn in just after midnight on New Year's Eve. He's made history as New York's first Muslim, first South Asian, and first African-born mayor, and at the age of 34, the city's youngest mayor in more than a century. Ahead of a public ceremony that drew thousands of people in below-freezing weather, Mamdani was sworn in privately at midnight, New Year's Eve, by New York Attorney General Tish James in a small ceremony in an old decommissioned subway station below City Hall.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year to all of you. And I can't think of a better way to usher in 2026 and to be amongst family and friends, and to inaugurate the man who will bring about a new era of progress, promise, and prosperity for New York City.
As the New York Attorney General Tish James swore in Zoran Mamdani, he's placed his hand on top of two Qurans held by his wife, the Syrian-American artist Rama Dawaji, including one that belonged to his grandfather, making him the first New York City mayor to use Islam's holy text at his inauguration. This is Mayor Mamdani.
Thank you so much for everyone for being here. Happy New Year to New Yorkers, both inside this tunnel and above. And I cannot wait to see everyone tomorrow as we begin our term. This is truly the honor and the privilege of a lifetime. And after just having taken my oath to become the mayor of the city of New York, I do so also here in the old City Hall subway station, a testament to the importance of public transit, to the vitality, the health, and the legacy of our city.
That was just after midnight on January 1st. Later, on Thursday afternoon, Senator Bernie Sanders swore in Zoran Mamdani again in a huge public ceremony at City Hall in the freezing weather. We'll hear more of that soon. But first, this is Andrew Epstein, one of the key people who helped steer Mayor Mamdani's long-shot campaign, who talked to Democracy Now! Just before he was sworn in the second time on the steps of City Hall about the significance of Mayor Mamdani's midnight swearing in.
My name is Andrew Epstein. I was the communications director and later the creative director on Zoran's campaign for mayor. I'm now an advisor. And last night, we were just below where we are right now in the old City Hall station, built in 1905, decommissioned in the 1940s when Fiorello LaGuardia was mayor because the trains got longer and the platform was too short. But it remains beautifully intact in its original form. Last night, the small number of guests and reporters were brought down stairs, waited on the platform, and a 6 train. Now, this is the station where the 6 train typically turns around, but a 6 train pulled in. First, Mira Nair and Mahmoud Mamdani and the families stepped off the first car on the
Mamdani's
train.
Mamdani's mother and father.
Mamdani's mother and father.
And great filmmaker and the Columbia professor.
Absolutely right. As well as the First Lady Rama Dawaji's parents, their guests as well, stepped off of the first train, and then the next one pulled up a little farther and off stepped. Then the mayor-elect and his wife, Rama. They walked up under the arch that says City Hall Station, and at midnight, Attorney General Tish James administered the oath of office, and then Zoran, the mayor, had to pay his $9 in cash to the clerk of the city and sign his name into the book. And I had a great conversation with the clerk. He has physical bound books where every single mayor going back to the early 19th century has signed their name. Because in the before the days of photo ID, you know, you matched a signature. How are you going to prove someone is who they are? So he actually is in possession of these bound volumes. We had the 21st century one. So it had Michael Bloomberg and Bill de Blasio and Eric Adams. In his office, he has 20th century, 19th century.
So, why $9?
That's a good question. It was 25 cents until this century. And then, you know, they thought maybe inflation meant it a little bit more now.
That was Andrew Epstein, the communications director and later creative director on Zoran Mamdani's campaign for mayor. He's now an advisor. When we come back, we'll hear more from Thursday's historic inauguration ceremony on the steps of City Hall, where thousands brave the freezing cold to participate. Stay with us.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found. Leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun, just a step beyond the rain.
The Rainbow, performed by Mandy Patinkin and PS22 Chorus of Staten Island students yesterday at Mayor Zoran Mamdani's inauguration, New Year's Day, on the steps of City Hall. The song was written by the blacklisted lyricist Yip Harburg. See our December 25th show on The Wizard of Oz, where the song came from, about its significance. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we continue coverage of the historic inauguration of Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani as the mayor of New York City, we'll hear in a minute from his fellow socialists, Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Bernie Sanders, who swore in Mamdani on the steps of City Hall. But first, thousands of New Yorkers turned out in below-freezing temperatures and police barricades to be part of Mamdani's inauguration, with many joining a block party with a marching band. Democracy Now!'s Maria Tarsena spoke to some of them.
So my name is Diana Moreno. I'm running for assembly to succeed Zoran Mamdani in the assembly because we know that he cannot do this alone. He's going to need allies in Albany to be unwavering in our mission to deliver the affordable New York that he ran on. And I'm so thrilled to be part of that movement. And it is a collective movement. I'm not doing it alone as an individual. I'm doing it as a democratic socialist fighting for my child's future and for my neighbors.
For many around the country, New York is sort of a symbol of the power of organizing after Mayor Mamdani won the election by a landslide. What is your message to other people around the country who are looking at New York as a path forward for the rest of the nation?
Organized people will always be more powerful than organized money. We defeated the most powerful forces on the planet, not just the political dynasty for Cuomo, but the people who funded him, which are the same people that funded Trump. The path forward towards actual democracy is organized people that are ready to fight for our children, for our future, for our planet. And Zoran has shown us that we can do this.
My name is Glenn Kantov, and the reason why I'm here is because this literally is such a unique opportunity to show the entire country what it looks like when you have billionaires out the way and you have someone in control who is accountable to the people. Like, this is a case study that the rest of the country can observe. A lot of people think that Zohar Mamdani is a once-in-a-generation talent, and I think he's an incredible person. I back him all the way, but the reality is that there are so many Zohrans throughout the entire country, but they get outspent. And so if Americans can see a model of what equitable leadership really looks like, it can empower other Zohrans to come out the fold.
My name's Ariel Seura. I am a teenager here in New York City, and throughout Mayor Mamdani's campaign, two things that I'm really proud that I was able to do is, one, go out, canvass, be out there on election day to make sure that we get those last minute voters in to get the outcome that we have today.
You're here with your friends. You're all a part of history. You canvassed personally for Mayor Mamdani. What inspired you to do that?
I mean, like, again, I think it's just like Mr. Mamdani, as compared to other politicians that, you know, just say things that are kind of persuasive, he's really listening to the people and he's really getting those issues that we see on a day-to-day basis. I mean, fast and free buses, I take the bus at least once a month in my neighborhood. Same with public transport. When it comes to universal child care, I know that I, as a kid, I had to stay with other family members that my parents had to pay. It was a struggle for them to do these things, and I watched these issues in my day-to-day life.
Mahmoud Khalil, you were released from ICE detention a few months ago, earlier this year. You're now at the inauguration of New York City Mayor Mamdani. What does this moment mean for you?
I mean, it's a great moment. I'm very optimistic to raise my child, who was born when I was in detention, to raise him under the mayorship of Mamdani. It's a great moment for all of us. It means that standing up for human rights, standing up for Palestinian rights, wouldn't mean that you don't get elected. Despite all the odds, Zohran made it. And this is what other politicians in this country should understand, that Palestine is no longer a liability for their platform, that they actually should speak out for Palestine.
My name is Ana Maria Archila. I'm the co-director of the New York Working Families Party. The more than 100,000 volunteers that were part of Zohran's campaign went to knock on doors, not just to ask people to vote for Zohran Mamdani, but actually to say, I will fight for you. I will commit to you that we will freeze the rent, that we will make universal child care available to everybody, that we will make buses fast and free. It was a politics of solidarity, a politics of mutual commitment, and a politics of optimism in a moment when there is so much darkness surrounding us.
Just some of the thousands of people who came out to participate in the inauguration ceremony of Zohran Mamdani as the mayor of New York on New Year's Day. Special thanks to Maria Inez Tadasena and Sam Alkoff. Yes, Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani has made history as New York's first Muslim, first South Asian, first African-born mayor, and at the age of 34, the city's youngest mayor in more than a century. During the public New Year's Day ceremony on the steps of City Hall, he was introduced by Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
New York, we have chosen courage over fear. We have chosen prosperity for the many over spoils for the few. And when the entrenched ways would rather have us dig in our feet and seek refuge in the past, we have chosen instead to turn towards making a new future for all of us. In Zohran Mamdani, we have chosen a mayor who is relentlessly dedicated to making life not just possible, but aspirational for working people. New York City has chosen the ambitious pursuit of universal child care, affordable rent and housing, and clean and dignified public transit for all. And we have chosen that over the distractions of bigotry and the barbarism of extreme income inequality. We have chosen this path because we know that it's the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, and that if we can make it here, we can make it